Got a lot of red out there today. Wow. Luke 2, verse 8, the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, 2, verse 8 says, "And there were in that same region," that is the region of Bethlehem, "there were in that same region shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." I started this sermon on Thursday afternoon. Came into the office and continued it on Friday morning. Spent a good bit of yesterday morning on it. And to be honest with you, it just didn't do anything for me. I wasn't married to it. I wasn't married to it any of the days. In fact, I even lost it for a couple of hours when my computer decided to call it a corrupt file and wouldn't release it back to me. And Cody Toms had to come over and find a copy of it, which I'm forever grateful. But I thought it was kind of poetic that the Lord told me it was a corrupt file, because that's pretty much how I thought about it. It just didn't hit home. Now, Kathy's away this weekend, and so I was at Haas's by myself last night, and while I was eating my salad, I was looking at my phone. And I came across a current writing by author and pastor Max Lucado. I don't know if you know Max Lucado, but he's written a plethora of books. And I came across this, and I thought it was very timely, and I would like to begin my message with a few of his excerpts. So I'm going to quote Brother Max. I will tell you when I'm done quoting him and when I'm back to Joel. He writes, "Don't we need some peace on earth and goodwill toward humankind? Don't we need some silent night, holy night? Don't we need the appearance of angels? Don't we need the joy of shepherds? Don't we need the blessed hope of a baby whose very name means salvation? We need someone to save us from this rancor, this bitterness, this hostility." "Max," somebody asked me, "are you for or against impeachment?" Ah, we're at the day where you're for or against. You're red or you're blue. You're elephant or you're donkey. You're Trump or Pelosi. He said, "I'll tell you what I'm for. I am for a baby in a manger. I'm for God in a barn, God with an umbilical cord, so human that he suckles milk and so divine that angels praise his holy name. They called him Jesus because that's what his name means. The Lord is salvation. He saves us from sin, from guilt, from shame, from death, and yes, even from political mudslinging." And Gabriel added with a smile, "And he will be great. Great enough to silence the storms. Great enough to banish the demons. Great enough to command the viruses. Vacate a few graves, even his own. Don't we need a great king? This world is chaotic. Life is so fragile. I am for the hope of Christmas. And I'm praying that he will do what national leaders are unable to do, and that is calm us and unite us. Oh, it'll probably take a miracle. But if Christ is willing to show up in a barn, then Capitol Hill and the Oval Office are within his reach." End quote. I thought it was powerful. I thought it was prophetic. I thought it spoke words that I was thinking myself. Now, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60 speaks of a darkness that'll cover the whole earth, a thick darkness that'll be over all of the people. Isaiah is talking about what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. It's a smothering, smoldering darkness that is bigger than life itself. But Isaiah doesn't leave us in the dark. He goes on in chapter 60 to talk about the coming hope, the hope that is coming. He says, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon the darkness. The glory will rise. Doxa is the Greek word or the Hebrew word. Doxa is the same word as our doxology. It means the splendor of God, the magnificence of God, the light of God itself will shine in the darkness. There's a message here, and it's a message for any time, but it's particularly relevant for this time, and it's relevant for Christmas, and it's this: wherever and whenever there is darkness, God always sends his light. Wherever and whenever there is darkness, God always sends his light. Or to put it in a biblical context, 1 John 1, verse 5, God is pure light, and there is not a trace of darkness in him. God will never let us wander around in darkness. God will always send God's light. And so it was in that same region, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock in darkness. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the doxa, the splendor of the Lord, shone round about them. And the King James Version says they were sore afraid, sore afraid. You know what sore afraid means? Why, it means fear with pain. You're sore afraid. No, I just threw that in there. You didn't think it was funny. I thought it was funny, but that's all right. No, I looked it up. Sore afraid. It means that they were afraid of being afraid. They were afraid of their own fear. They were greatly afraid. They were petrified. Can I say something? Many of us are afraid too. And many of us are afraid that we're afraid. And that's what it means. Sore afraid. It's a crippling fear. It's a paralyzing fear. It's a fear that we as a nation have lost our edge. It's a fear for the future. It's a fear for our children. And there's many of you here who would say, are my grandchildren? It's a fear for the coming of the latter days. Here's a Christmas message. God does not want us to be afraid. God does not intend for you to be afraid. Regardless of what the news says, God wants us to trust him. Trust that he is in charge, and trust that his deep desire is to bless us and to grow us through the darkness, to grow us through the darkness. Fear not. You know, it's so important to God that we not be afraid that he put it in the Bible 365 times, one for every day of the year. Fear not. For example, David was a shepherd. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear not, for you are with me. Something bigger than my fear is with me. Something brighter than the darkness will illumine me. Something greater than my despair can give me comfort and hope. Something that is beyond my sin and my failure will give me grace. Something larger than my own efforts will save me. I'm going to tell you something, and I believe it. I didn't get this from Max Lucado, but I think he meant it. I believe with all my heart that we, like the shepherds, are experiencing the birth pangs of God doing something significant. I don't know what it is, but I think so. I believe we're feeling the seismic shift of a holy and righteous God who has stepped back onto the planet, and he's about to do something. And quite honestly, don't you pray and don't you hope that he does? I do. The angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy. The joy is not happiness. Whoopee! It's not delight. The joy that is talked about here in the Greek, it's the profound sense of calm. I'm bringing you a profound sense of calm because in your heart, you know, that God is in control and you are going to thrive, not survive. You're going to thrive. We'll thrive because God, listen to me, is about to engage the mess that we're in and redeem it. For unto you is born this day a Savior. He is Christ the Lord, not a politician, not a general, not a surgeon, not an engineer, not a systems analysis, not an IT guy. Unto you is born a Savior, the long-awaited anointed one of God, the Holy One of God, the light and hope for the world, the one who is worshipped above all else because he is deserving above all else. On a Bethlehem hillside, God showed up. And it's interesting, he showed up to men and women who were up to their ears in dung. Could have shown up to anybody. He showed up to them. And aren't you glad? Because sometimes I feel that I'm up to my ears in dung. And God will always show up, and his good news will be for all people, not just the people who live a secluded and protected life and enjoy a luxury that the rest of us don't. The peace on earth and goodwill toward men and women is not. I thought it was. It's not. I learned this time. I always learn something when I preach. It's not peace, the absence of war in the world. But one day there'll be no more war. It's not necessarily that. It's not the absence of animosity around your table on Christmas Day and the lack of fighting and tension. You know, it's not that. The peace of God that passes all understanding is a declaration of the end of hostility. It's the end of hostility between a holy and righteous God and a sinful humanity. It's the beginning of an era of God with us. God who is so full of mercy that he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him will not perish. That's what God was up to. The late Billy Graham once said, Bethlehem's manger crib became a link that bound a lost world to a loving God. And I believe it. It became the link that bound a lost world to a God of love. And the angel said, you'll find him. You'll find him. When I started writing this sermon, I became fixated on the word find. This will be a sign unto ye. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And I thought, fine. Find means searching with discovery. Searching with discovery. Not so far from my hometown of Waynesboro is a little tiny community, which the locals call Wayne Castle. Wayne Castle. Not Green Castle. Not Zollinger. Not Shady Grove, Wayne Castle. And when I was a kid, there was a mill in Wayne Castle. And next to that mill was a huge estate of the miller. Interesting. And every Christmas, that estate, you're shaking your head, Lauren, you know, can you see it? That estate was decorated. Yeah. That estate was elaborately decorated with plywood, colorful scenes that moved. It was early animatronics. The Magi pointed to the star up on the mill like this. The organist played the organ back and forth like this. Santa Claus pulled toys out of his bag while the elves hammered and sawed and worked on a grinder. And somebody reminded me there was a skater that moved her leg. And I remember a gentleman in a sleigh tipping his hat to everybody that drove by. Remember this? Joe and I used to form a musical group and we'd go out there and carol. Millers. It was the same scene every year. The lawn was decorated with thousands of light bulbs. And when you came from Waynesboro and Zollinger into Wayne Castle, you had to crest a hill. And before you ever crested that hill, you could see a glow in the sky. From all of the bulbs that they had, oh, it was wonderful. It was magic. I loved it. It was the same scene every year, but I never grew tired of it. And people upstairs told me that they did too. Every year, my family planned an outing to go out to Wayne Castle to see all of the stuff that was on Miller's lawn. And then One year, the local paper reported that this mill and the estate were sold. Mill was closed, and there would be no more Christmas decorations. I was married, and I still delighted in those decorations. And I couldn't believe that they wouldn't be out there. So what do you think I did? I drove out there to see for myself. Yeah? I drove out there to see for myself. Surely the new owners will put up the decorations. Wayne Castle was all dark and vacant, as it was the next year, as it was the next year. And finally, I gave up looking and gave up hope that I'd ever see it again. Now, I didn't put this in the sermon because I didn't think I'd have time, but I do have time. There is an addendum to all this. Years went by, and my childhood was lost. And one night about 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I was driving through the little community of Laymasters with my granddaughter. Laymasters is just a little bit bigger than Wayne Castle. And I was driving through Laymasters when what to my wondering eye should appear but this glow of lights over on my left-hand side. You're shaking your head. You know what I'm going to say. And so I said to Carmen, my granddaughter, somebody's got lights out. Let's go see them. I couldn't believe it. They had the Miller's decorations on their front lawn. And what I had been searching for, lo, this will be a sign unto ye. You shall find the babe wrapped and you'll find him. I found again. Can I tell you something? What you're searching for right now, you can find. What you want most of all for Christmas is already here. And he is the King of all kings. And I want to tell you, that's good news for everybody. We don't need to wander around in darkness. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to wonder what God's up to. God has already left the lights on. His name is Jesus. Embrace him. Thank you, dear Lord, for a servant like Max, who just fleshed out stuff that you had in there for me. And I think I just want to say thank you for the blessing that you showed up. Not you're going to show up, not maybe you'll come, you came. And the scripture tells us that finding you is as simple as looking into our own hearts. It's not far away. It doesn't require a magical formula or an incantation. You don't have to read it in a book. It's as near as this. We got some problems. We've got some reasons, like Herod, to be disturbed. But I do believe that our Father in heaven is making a seismic shift, as I said, to implant his foot on this ground again and make it holy ground and burning bush ground and Red Sea ground and Golgotha ground. Give us the faith and the eyes to hope for more. For I pray in your precious name. Amen.